The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
For many years, food waste has been a topic of some contention. Previously, Irish retailers and processors were forced to transport food waste to Northern Ireland as there was no solution to the issue south of the border. However, there is now a less carbon-intensive solution in the Dublin area. To talk about this further, I'm joined by the technical lead of BIA Energy, Dr. Stephen Nolan. Stephen, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. Thanks for having me on.
Now, we were transporting the waste from processors and from retailers and so on to the north of Ireland. What was the problem with that, besides the carbon footprint of the trucks?
So there is a carbon footprint, which is obvious, but Northern Ireland has a lot of intensive agriculture, so pigs, chicken and poultry, and a lot of dairy as well. And then they have 90 anaerobic digestion plants as well. They have 90 anaerobic digestion plants up there because it was incentivized by their government, and they have a good renewables system there. But all of that intensive agriculture is producing a lot of organic fertilizer. There's about 10,000 tons too much phosphorus in the north. And so they're trying to come up with ways to ship that phosphorus off the island and away from them. But by sending our food waste up north, we're actually compounding their
adding problem. Adding to their phosphorus problem.
We are, yeah.
Okay. So the idea, you have this anaerobic digester, which is somewhere off the M50, is that right?
Yeah, it's just near the airport, about 10 minutes away from the airport there.
How big is it?
100,000-ton plant, which is the biggest one in the country. It's capable of taking in and processing around 300 tons a day.
Of food waste?
Food waste, now, food processing.
Bring us through the process. The food waste, how do you collect it, first of all?
So around Dublin, it depends on the type of material, but around Dublin, all the kitchens and canteens will have a brown bin, and waste collectors will go and pick that up and bring it to our plant. You also have food.
Now, who pays whom? I mean, are you paying them for the waste, or are they paying you to take it?
It's a good question, and it's part of the issue that we have is we charge a gate fee because we have to, because there's no incentive essentially from the government to produce renewable gas. We're competing with Northern Ireland, who can afford to take it in for free or at a low fee because they have a very good incentive for the renewable energy.
So that there's a kind of a standoff at the moment, is there, between the people who collect the brown bin and yourselves?
There's a small bit of, it's common sense. So some people will see actually it's much more convenient to come to a plant in Dublin, drop our stuff off and go on our way again and pay a little bit for that. Whereas other people want to bring it further north. Some of the retailers, one of them in particular is very good. Tesco has been brilliant at supporting the industry and supporting renewable gas production. And so they'll bring it to the nearest and best and most sustainable solution. Yeah.
Okay, now a truck arrives full of food waste, which may include packaging and so on. What happens next?
So we've invested heavily in excellent equipment to depackage that food waste and produce a soup out of it. That soup is then stored in a tank and it's fed into the digesters. The digesters are basically big tanks full of bacteria and where the natural process of decomposition happens. When that process happens in the environment, the gas that's produced is just released to the
atmosphere. I mean, we know that in some of the landfills, there are those chimneys which allow the methane to vent.
Exactly. So it's just released to the atmosphere. Yeah. Anaerobic digestion just captures that gas and makes a usable energy out of it.
Is it a faster process than the natural decay?
It's sped up a little bit by adding temperature to it. So it's encouraged because we're capturing the gas from it. It takes 30 to 60 days.
So you can have a continuous process,
the
food waste arriving every day, and then you're adding to this soup effectively every day.
Exactly. And what comes out on the back end after about 60 days is a spent organic fertilizer. That fertilizer is pasteurized, and the Department of Agriculture do a great job of making sure that that's done properly and effectively. And then it's a very good replacement for chemical fertilizer. So a lot of the tillage land around Dublin, which has historically just gotten chemical fertilizer, is depleted of organic matter. And we're now adding back organic matter and restoring soil health with
which
our fertilizer.
Which is a pretty good cycle, if you like, everything going back into the
Absolutely.
Earth. Now, the gas that comes off, what does it contain?
It's approximately 65% methane and 35 to 40% CO2. The process then is to extract the methane from that. And what you have then is a 99% methane, which is the equivalent of natural gas, and it can be injected directly into the natural gas grid.
So how do you store that gas when it comes off?
When it comes off, we have a balloon that can store a few hours worth of gas, and then we're processing it constantly as well.
Okay, so the balloon made of polypropylene
or something like that? Yeah, it's just a big membrane.
Because, I mean, the old days, you'd see the gasometers around Dublin, which were used to store town's gas, and they were cylinders, a cylinder within a cylinder, which went up as the gas was generated, and then as consumers used it, it went down.
It's so a flexible membrane.
Same principle.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, now the dry product that comes off, I presume you have to dry the solids.
We can dry it. We separate it, and that's one option. But it's actually usable as you can use slurry
equipment.
Oh,
the farmer would like it as a
They can apply it using their own equipment that they have for spreading slurry.
In theory, though, you could bag it and sell it.
You can process it more, yeah.
Yeah, okay. But you sell it in a tank.
Ship it off in tanks locally. If you're sending it further afield, it would make more sense to dry it down and produce a fertilizer product.
Okay. Now, how is it going so far?
It's been good. The plant was built a good while ago. It was bought over by the owner, Mr. Eamon Waters, and he got it up and running quite quickly then. And so from July last year, we've been taking in material, and it's running well now. So
the kind of productivity of gas, I don't know how you like to quantify it's in kilowatt hours of electricity generated, or how do you like to quantify it?
So there's gigajoules and gigawatts and all sorts of measures, but we say roughly 11,000 homes can be powered by the gas that we produce at the plant.
Okay, so that's to give us an equivalence, because you actually put it into the gas grid.
Yes.
So it goes wherever the gas
goes. It does, exactly. Yeah. It's similar to renewable electricity where it goes into the grid and then it's sent off.
So this seems like a very good green idea, which is efficient. I hope it's profitable. I hope it washes its face at least.
Currently, it's just about profitable. It's not really viable.
It's not going to make a huge fortune for anybody
without any support.
So what do you need?
There's been a lot of talk about renewable heat obligation or some support mechanism to put a baseline guarantee on price, because there's a lot of plants in various stages of planning or with permission, but they can't secure funding. Our situation is slightly different, but a lot of the plants around the country and the industry generally can't secure funding because they can't guarantee a price for their offtake of gas. It's the same as renewable electricity. Wind turbines or solar needed some support to get up and running. And so the industry is kind of waiting for this support.
So how would it compare to the price if you bring gas from Scotland or wherever, or indeed off the coast of Ireland, what remains of our gas fields? How does the price offered by the grid to you compare to that price that they get?
So
do you need a better price?
We need a better price, or when you need some bonus for producing renewable gas. So if this gas is going to be emitted to the atmosphere and impact our climate footprint, then we should be incentivized for actually capturing that gas and displacing natural gas.
Would it mean, though, to the consumer they pay more for their gas?
It shouldn't, because it's a drop in the ocean essentially compared to all the gas that we're producing. So if we produce or use 57 terawatt hours or whatever the number is of gas, and we produce 10% of that even, which is the target from the government of 5.7 terawatt hours, actually we're such a small amount of the overall that it's not going to make a difference to the price.
And what is the relevant minister saying to you at the moment about that kind of support?
We're not getting much.
No traction.
Not at the moment. I know they're working on things in the background, and we're hoping and anticipating an RHO, this renewable heat obligation, was supposed to come out last year. We're hearing it'll come out soon, hopefully, but we need some movement on it.
Texts are saying the government should definitely get behind this. It's the new way. It's what we should be spending money on.
For sure. And we talk a lot about circularity. this is a truly circular solution where unavoidable food waste and food processing waste, we capture the gas and produce a fertilizer, which then goes back to growing our food again.
It seems like a no-brainer. Anyway, Stephen, thank you very much for sharing it with us. Dr. Stephen Nolan, who's the technical lead of BIA Energy. Thank you very much for joining us in the studio.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.